welcome to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host Silky Harvey, every Monday at 1 p.m. CT. Well, hello and welcome everybody to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1. Today on Monday the 13th of December. And what an exciting week it is. This week is launch week for Strong and Free, stories of women who are living their dream after breaking up with society's expectations. I'm so excited. That's my very first multi-author book coming out right here this week on the 17th of December. That's on Friday. And it will be a Kindle release on Amazon, an international release. And I am so happy. And yeah, this is really a big thing for me, a big day, because this is the launch of my first book after I founded Inner Hippie Books in the summer. And there are 16 stories of 16 amazing women, and they have so much wisdom to share, so much love to give to people. And you just need to read those stories. They are absolutely inspirational. Each one of these women has overcome obstacles in her life to live the life of her dreams with purpose and alignment. And these stories show you how they have overcome those obstacles and what it took for them to actually be strong and free, truly independent, strong women. So I will be sharing the links for the Amazon release on Friday the 17th on all my social media, but you can also look it up on innerhippiebooks.com. You can find the link on the show page and you can click straight through. And on Friday the 17th, all the links for all the international Amazon accounts will go up so you can go and buy your copy. And it will only be 99 US cents or 77p in the UK, less than a cup of coffee, because I want this book to go out there to as many people as possible. It needs to touch as many lives as possible with these inspirational stories, these stories that can change lives. And today we have a really special episode of the Inner Hippie Club. Instead of the usual format of interviewing people, I am going to read extracts from all the stories in the book so you can already enjoy a preview of the read that you can buy on the 17th. And some of our beautiful authors have even recorded their snippets in their own voice, so that makes it even more personal and touching. So we are going to go straight in with our very first author, who is Charlotte de Jaeger. And her story is called Ignited Wisdom in the Naked Bus. Now, let's find out from her in her own words what that's all about. You are listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Silky Harvey.
Ignited Wisdom in the Naked Bus. You think you have to want more than you need. Until you have it all, you won't be free. When you want more than you have, you think you need. And when you think more than you want, your thoughts begin to bleed. Adi Vedder, Society. Where will I live? What do I need? Flashes through my mind while the naked bus is making a turn. There is no condition-safe illusion that I can fall back on anymore. I have no idea of what tomorrow may bring. Projecting a reality in my mind with expectations and conditioned behavior onto a future is not an option anymore. Being confronted with my reflection, I realize that what I feel and I think I want and need is out of balance. It's like my thoughts have begun to bleed. I feel naked. Being stuck in unhealthy work systems or relationships had made me more aware of what I don't want and need. This awareness pushes me in the direction of the great unknown, where I follow the light inside my heart. My inner light, surrounded by the darkness of resistance, guided me through the other side of the world, to a pub of flow and ease. Months of traveling solo through New Zealand, Australia and Bali opened my eyes to many different realities from the wonderful people I met. Many of them shared seeds of wisdom with me. It even made me question my perspective on my reality. The word normal could mean something entirely different for another person in another culture than for me. Yet, it is the same word. By being more and more exposed to the world's wonders, I felt a desire to reignite the magic in my life. I had the chance to develop a curious and open attitude, which led me to ask better questions. What do I need to do to reignite passion? What makes my eyes spark like the brightest star with excitement? What do I need to find inner peace, which gives me a feeling of being whole and in balance? The naked bus took a sudden turn. I snapped out of my thoughts back into the present moment. It was still dark outside, and I felt tired of living in a reality that seemed stable and secure, but was an illusion. I felt so down and needed comfort and grounding, like being held in a warm, soft, safe, peaceful hug that fills your heart with happiness and love. I needed to break through in order to break free.
Okay, that was Charlotte de Jager with Ignited Wisdom in the Naked Bus. And the next story now is Erica Roos with My Story is Mine. I'm sick of other people speaking for me, becoming my narrator without my permission, and telling me what is and isn't true. My narrative is mine. In my family, we were a total of six. My father abandoned my mother, leaving her to care for all of us by herself. We were poor. Mother is a Mexican lady with no education, an immigrant with no prior job experience. My brothers, sisters, and I used to get into fights all the time around the house. At age 13, I was skipping school, drinking liquor, and getting into fights. I felt that the others had something against me or thought I was stupid. I walked directly to my friend's house. As he smoked a joint and got ready for school, I sat on his bed. He inhaled deeply and reached out to me. He offered me the fat joint. I wasn't a big smoker, having only tried it four times before, but I was a strong drinker. I took the joint from his hand. I looked at it, placed it in my mouth, and inhaled deeply. I blew out and my head went numb. My thoughts went blank and I forgot where I was and what I was doing. All I could think of was how time had passed and how I was going in and out of my head. I panicked, as it seemed as though time was frozen and then returned to normal. I opened the door and the sun hit me hard in the face. I couldn't feel the wind since I'd opened the door so wide. I jumped out and grabbed the stair rail in front of me. I was on the second floor. I wanted to jump down because I was dizzy and lightheaded. My mind kept begging me to jump or fly. My body wanted to kill me and throw me over the rail. I lost control. I felt like I was floating in the air as I walked to school. My head was buzzing like a broken TV. I tried but couldn't get the buzzing out of my head. It was sizzling. All of a sudden, I found myself in the hallway floating and had no idea how I got there. I was laying on the bed in the school nurse's office and I could hear the nurse talking to someone. That girl in there, she's so drowsy, she has no idea what she's talking about, she said. I know who she is, and she's always skipping school. Poor girl, she must be on something, said the other lady. I could hear them talking about me. I tried to say something, but couldn't since my head was so heavy on the pillow that I couldn't even speak. I began to scream, but no one was listening. I was trapped within my head where no one could hear me, and I could only listen to myself talk. That was Erica Roos with My Story Is Mine. Next on we have Esther de Charon de Saint-Germain with The Story of Survivor Girl and the Brave Rebel. I'm standing at the top of the stairs and all I can think is, how do I get downstairs? I've just told the student counselor that there's something terribly wrong with me, that I keep finding myself in the far western areas of Amsterdam, but don't have a clue how I've gotten here. I tell him that my body is bruised because I keep having accidents with my bike, but I don't know why. I tell him that I'm so tired, so numb. I don't feel anything. I just want to disappear. I don't want to be part of this body. I want out and I want to sleep, but I can't sleep. It feels like I haven't slept in ages. Instead, I'll just sit on my bed and smoke. Also, I don't know how to get off these stairs. The bedroom. I'm 9 years old and I'm standing in my parents' bedroom. The door is closed. It's a warm summer's day and I can hear children playing outside. My knees are buckling. There is a wooden chair behind me, but I know better than to ask for permission to sit. My mother sits on her side of the bed, her legs stretched out, her pillow in the small of her back. She talks and I'm trying to concentrate on the titles of the books on the bookshelf above her. I keep coming back to Snow in April. At least that's a title that takes me away from what's happening in my parents' bedroom. The thing is, I knew this was going to happen. This morning, my mother had told me not to bring anyone into the house, but my classmate Annette asked if she could come home with me. I'm convinced I'm an ugly, fat, short, brown girl who can't keep her clothes clean, who invents a tummy ache so that she can finish her book during lunch breaks. But someone wants to spend time with me. Annette and I are both into horses. We wrap rope around the edges of our handlebars and pretend that our bikes are horses. Mine is named Fury. And now I want to show my bike horse friend my room. But as soon as I open the kitchen door, I run into my mother. A warm smile for Annette. I get the look. Her eyes narrowing, her beautiful face freezing into an ice mask. She suddenly seems impossibly large. She doesn't speak to me. I don't need words to know what she's thinking. What you just did is unforgivable. That was Esther de Charon de Saint-Germain with The Story of Survivor Girl and the Brave Rebel. These stories are just simply amazing, and I'm in awe as I'm reading each and every one of them. So keep tuned and keep listening for more stories from the 16 strong and free women who have all written a chapter in my forthcoming multi-author book, which will be launching on December 17th this week.
You are listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Silke Harvey.
Next up is Hayden Orme with It's Time to Stop Shoulding All Over Yourself. Life is always going to knock you down. The question is, will you get back up? Or in this case, it wasn't about me getting knocked down so much as getting knocked overboard into the ocean. As I resurfaced, I quickly calculated that I was within seconds of getting mowed down by a fleet of boats and surely headed for Davy Jones's locker. when life threw me those proverbial lemons, I tried bobbing for them in the freezing Atlantic. A few seconds earlier, all had been going well. Holding onto the lifelines, eyes on the race marker, I was poised and ready for the skipper to yell, "Ready to tack?" Suddenly, the boat lurched and I felt a hard thunk as the boom swung across the boat, transferring its inertia directly into my abdomen. With the wind knocked out of me, the realization that I was in the ocean hit me with similar intensity. Icy cold water was rapidly filling my foul weather gear, and I could feel myself quickly being pulled under. I could hear yelling on deck as I saw the fleet of boats behind us racing to round the marker. A man's voice called out, "I've got you!" Somehow, one of the crew had managed to grab a strap on my gear. I remember the thought flashing through my mind, if this thing breaks, I'm done for. Thankfully, the guy managed to haul me back aboard while still underway. Thoroughly soaked, violently shivering, and still in shock, I overheard the skipper yell, "Hayden, I'm so sorry!" His negligence to follow the correct chain of procedure had left me pre-hypothermic and less than thrilled. We still had at least another hour to go before reaching the shore. My 21-year-old paradigm of indestructibility was shaken. However, I lived to tell the tale, and for that I am grateful. Once docked with everyone ashore, I became the focus of attention at the post-race party. Everyone was clamoring to understand what had happened. In a crowd of sunburned, windswept men, I was one of only a few female sailors. No matter how many races I crewed or how many post-race events I attended, that was a common theme. Other women always asked, "Oh my gosh, why do you do it? I could never do that. What if you get hurt?" I'd usually respond with something like, "Who are you here to support? What boat is he on? Do you ask him the same questions?" I'd often get a mystified look in return. That was Hayden Orme with "It's Time to Stop Shooting All Over Yourself." And next up is Jennifer Wheeler. In her own words, she tells you why she chooses herself. Her story, "I Choose Me, A Joyfully Badass Journey to Freedom."
I Choose Me, A Joyfully Badass Journey to Freedom. After a very long day of teaching elementary school, I grabbed my purse and headed out the door. I had roughly 15 minutes to haul ass and get to my son's middle school football game. As I walked toward the stairs, I kept thinking about all the stuff I needed to do when I got home. Laundry, grading papers, go by the bank, get money for a field trip, feed the dog, make our lunches, get gas, pay a few bills, etc., etc. In addition to the fact I was exhausted, I had miles to go before I would see my pillow. As I grabbed the cold steel handrail and began briskly walking down the gray concrete steps, I stopped in my tracks. What if I fell? What if I tripped? Just a little bit. Nothing too serious. Just a broken leg or ankle or arm. Maybe a concussion thrown in for good measure. Could I cause myself to have an accident that would land me in the hospital for a couple of weeks? That's all I needed. A couple of weeks of peace and silence with other people taking care of me rather than me taking care of everyone and everything. For most of my life, I thought my primary purpose was to be a good mom, a good wife, good daughter, good sister, good friend, good employee, good neighbor, good volunteer, good... Unfortunately, the definition of good has been created by society and contributes to misogyny and male dominance. Routinely walking through life, filling roles that society has placed on you without your consent does not allow you to fully develop. Maybe that's why so many women over 40 finally give up and say, "Fuck it all." Trying to break up with society's bullshit is harder than it seems, mostly because we've been socialized to believe that women are the supporting actresses of the world, that whatever we want, need, desire, or strive to be, will never be good enough, and that if we do get there, we don't deserve it. We are taught to be grateful for the tiny crumbs of progress towards equal rights and not ask for too much more. I'm on a mission to dismantle the patriarchy through empowering my fellow females. As a Scorpio, in person with no filter, I don't have trouble speaking up for myself. I'm loud, bold, and hold my boundaries. I do no harm, but I also take no shit, which is why I often wonder why I fell for society's mixed messages. The reality is, societal expectations are nothing more than a toxic relationship based on power and control. It's hard to break up because it's often easier to stay and give in than to stand firmly in your own power and fight back. It can be exhausting, frustrating, and overwhelming. But the consequences of sticking to the status quo are pretty dire. Your gifts and talents waste away. You may feel like you're walking with no roots, that you're going through the motions. It's possible you don't realize you're unfulfilled and stuck until you are so far down in the hole that it feels like you can never get back out. Thank you for listening to this excerpt of Strong and Free, My Personal Chapter, I Choose Me, A Joyfully Badass Journey to Freedom. Thank you. This has been Jennifer Wheeler.
That was Jennifer Wheeler with I Choose Me, A Joyfully Badass Journey to Freedom. Next up is Jenny Louise Watt. In her own words, she tells you the story about rewriting the book.
Rewriting the book. When we are born, we are an open book. The people around us fill the pages with thoughts, ideas, and beliefs that they consider important. If we're lucky, the pages are filled with the ideas of infinite possibilities, abundance, joy, expansion, and love. And the people around us give us the freedom to discover who we are and to discover our purpose. If we're not as lucky, then hopefully as we journey through life, we can uncover our true selves and our purpose so that we can make the most of our journey. During the COVID lockdown, I found myself working remotely and realized how much I missed the flexibility of working from home. I realized that more than anything, I longed to be available to care for my granddaughter on my terms, not those imposed by my employer. That combined with an ever-increasing realization that working for the city government did not suit me and would not serve my purposes in making a difference in my hometown, I turned in my notice and decided that I would once again become an entrepreneur. I saw that during the pandemic, the business world was rapidly changing. I wanted to come up with an innovative idea to make the best of what was going on. I decided to go back to my roots, teaching people to use computers. It's what I know. It's what I'm good at. I love tech. I love teaching. With the changes that came about during COVID, the online teaching environment had blossomed, and I was excited to explore all the new tech and creative ways to use it. I got a call from a client whose website I had edited 5 years earlier. He is a musician and needed his website redesigned from scratch. We talked, and he told me about some of the training he had been through on how to grow his business. He wanted me to implement all the tech he had been learning about. I decided that my business would be providing tech services and training to musicians and other creative entrepreneurs. I've always admired creative people. I wanted to see myself as belonging to that group. I'd dabbled in creative pursuits throughout my life. I've loved crocheting since I was a kid. I love photography. My first real take the taxes out of your paycheck job was working as the photographer for the county newspaper the summer after I graduated from high school. I dreamed of becoming a freelance photographer and going to art school after high school. But when I shared my dreams with my father, I was directed to the pages in the book that said I needed to go to college, get a degree, and get a real job so that I could become successful. My parents set an example of working hard for what you want. Work comes before play. I was expected to do well in school, go on to college, and build a successful life. I was taught to never question authority and that the consequences for challenging this rule would be dire and permanent.
You are listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Silky Harvey. That was Jenny Louise Watt with Rewriting the Book. Next up is Kayla Fleur Anders with The Journey. Before becoming a wife and mom, I was a writer. A writer who was once a little girl who woke up to the smell of coffee, the sound of a rooster crowing, and the warmth of the sun rising on North Chattanooga Street. I would combine all that I experienced early in the morning and create stories in my head. I was a teenager who read the dictionary for fun and cherished every crossword puzzle book her mom bought her. I evolved into a woman who bought a new journal every time she visited the store that sold them. I would write about my day in its entirety, documenting everything that happened and everyone I encountered. I became a woman who was so in tune with her surroundings and her feelings that she poured her heart into everyone and everything. I loved deeply, and because of it, I was easy to hurt deeply as well. I always considered the feelings of others over my own. I didn't like hurting feelings, intentionally or unintentionally. So, at some point in my life, I became content with sacrificing my feelings just to make others happy. I sacrificed how I was feeling to make sure no one would ever feel like I did at some point in my life, rejected or unimportant. Writing became my way of releasing my true feelings into the abyss of my journals. Besides, no one would ever read them, so no one would get hurt. Even in my journals, I was protecting everybody else's feelings and abandoning my own. And at the same time, I was freeing myself from the possibility of slavery to fear, resentment, or unforgiveness. In addition to prayer, writing was an avenue I used to let go. After getting married and giving birth to my children, I fell in love with my new life and suddenly became engulfed with changing diapers, volunteering at school, and being a supportive wife. I was tackling smelly socks, attending brutally hot football practices, and slapping down toilet seats that were always found standing at attention. I had loving friendships, the support of extended family, and everything I thought I'd needed. As life continued, I stopped writing. It never seemed like I had time. Honestly, I felt like I didn't need writing anymore. I was finally complete. I finally had what I needed to feel whole, a family. That was Kayla Fleur Anders with The Journey. And next up, we have Kinga Stajalek with From Codependence to Independence, How I've Created a Soulmate Relationship Based on Freedom and Unconditional Love, in her own words.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kinga Elizabeth Stajalek, and I'm a love and relationship coach expert as well as energy healer. I help women awaken their inner goddess so they can attract real love, their soulmates, and create life based on joy, happiness, and abundance. Today, I want to present you a little bit of my chapter from a strong and free woman's book. It's a stories of women who are living their dream after breaking up with the society expectations. So today I'm presenting a little bit, just a little bit of my chapter to give you a glimpse what I wrote in this book. From Codependent to Independent, How I've Created a Soulmate Relationship Based on Freedom and Unconditional Love. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to spend the next winter in this country. That is when I decided I didn't want to live up to society, family, and cultural expectation anymore. I just came back from Thailand, where I spent probably one of the best 2 weeks of my life, and I just couldn't stop thinking how much my life didn't match my spirit. In Thailand, I felt connected, I felt at home, I felt I belong, and the most importantly, I felt at peace. No rush, no negativity, no frustrations, only flow and following my heart desires. When I went back to my old life, it didn't feel right, and I couldn't stand living like that anymore. I was sick and tired of trying to fit into the life that wasn't fulfilling to me. Even though on the paper everything looked amazing, I felt trapped in the life, work and relationship I had. My inner voice was kept saying, I want to start over, travel, find a new home, take a rest, stop worrying what other people think, and live the way I want. At that time, I had no idea that the decision I made would take me to the place where I am right now. What I did know was, I didn't want to live my life anymore. I couldn't do the work I was doing, and I needed to find passion and purpose in my life. So when I said to my husband, my fiancé at that time, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to spend the next winter in this country. He was really intrigued and left the idea open to see how it would unfold.
That was Kinga Stajalek with From Codependent to Independent, How I've Created a Soulmate Relationship Based on Freedom and Unconditional Love. Next up is Lindsay Cross with It All Started with Funny Bunny, Two Gerbils, and a Box of Locusts. If success was measured in money, I'd be considered poor indeed. But my life is filled with incredible people and animals, beautiful countryside, and a fulfilling job. I feel rich and thank God for that. Life is about choosing what makes you happy. I drive a beaten-up van, which I'm prouder of than any flashy sports car. I wake up to the calls of ravens rather than some exotic beach. I work from home and I've made a career doing what I love. Success is about being yourself and having faith in your dreams. Sure, get training, be inspired by others and develop ideas, but satisfaction comes from following your passions. All of my childhood memories include animals, bumblebees, squirrels, lambs. I grew up on a farm in Sussex and wanted to be an animal teacher like my heroes, David Attenborough and Gerald Durrell. I kept cats, dogs, grasshoppers, spiders, and ladybirds. I put on elaborate puppet shows with toy animals and drew programs, pictures, and diagrams. I used a cassette player to produce whale sounds or my homemade interpretations of that. I marvel at the recordings I can produce today with my phone and wireless speaker. I've earned my living for the last decade with live animal shows. I'm one of the only people in the country with a life-size puppet dinosaur. I run a rescue center with 140 beautiful animals, and I write and perform storytelling events in my own yurt. Lindsay's Animal School is an animal rescue and education venture that visits schools, private parties, care homes, scouts, prisons, and hospitals with live animals. Currently, I'm based on the site, providing shows to small audiences, just like in my early days. I'm a person of faith, and I pray and thank God for the providence that comes my way. I love this word, providence. It means good fortune is sent to us by our faith in God, the universe, or whatever you choose to call it. Anybody put off by spirituality, by religion, as I've been at times, is missing this secret. Try offering prayer to whatever good force you believe in and have faith that what you need is provided. That was Lindsay Cross with It All Started with Funny Bunny, Two Gerbils, and a Box of Locusts. And next up is Liz Simmons-Hickey with the last sin, in her own words.
So hello, my name is Liz Hickey and I live in Dublin, Ireland, and I'm going to share a little bit of my story with you. Conscious of time, I've just picked some key points from my story, The Last Sin. So is comfort important to you? It has always been very important to me, physical and emotional comfort. Has anyone ever suggested that you are less than perfect? Society has told me this in many ways over my lifetime. A recent discovery turned me from feeling that I needed to be fixed into a woman who feels free to be me. I live life true to myself and grateful that I now understand the why behind being a bigger person. Obese in medical terms, or a fat lady, as some children refer to me. In the past, I would have taken these words as a personal criticism, and despite a smile and a kind demeanor, they would have hurt my sensitive heart and soul. These days, I see the words purely as descriptive. What does hurt, however, is when people approach me uninvited, suggesting that they have a solution to fix me or cure me. It's hard to live life when you perceive flaws on the outside. It seems to allow people to critically judge, whether in a shop or cafe, at a conference or dinner party, even on public transport or out for a walk, we are vulnerable. Subtle bullying and fat shaming is inherent in society. I'm the creator of an amazing life skill I call life design, which I've used myself with my family and clients to live life to the full despite our challenges. I now teach life design and train others to use it in a professional capacity too. A perceived and actual weight issue, has been a 50-year struggle for me. I decided I had to find the why behind it. I decided that enough was enough. I would live life my way while striving to stay healthy and well. I'm aware of the body positivity movement, but I do not believe that we should have to apologize or explain about our bodies, whatever their size. I would prefer to be part of a live and let live movement of kindness, where there's no need to justify ourselves to self-appointed judges for any reason at all. Imagine if solving your deepest challenge or wound was more simple than you ever could have imagined once you understand the truth. One evening during the time of discovery, when I was explaining to my husband, Philip, who has walked life's journey with me for over 40 years, that I now understand why I had to censor the news and other TV programs and movies because of the effect they had on me, I expressed a deep thought. Sometimes I think I am just too sensitive for this world. So I leave it at there. And I want to thank Silky for the opportunity to share about this really important issue.
You are listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Silky Harvey. That was Liz Simmons Hickey with The Last Sin. All of these women are amazing storytellers. The more I listen, the more in awe I am of them. I truly am. And I'm so honored that they have chosen me to publish their work. And I am so excited that Strong and Free is coming out on Friday. So if you've been inspired by all of these stories, go out and buy the book when it's launched on Friday the 17th on Amazon. It will be launched worldwide in all territories of Amazon. And it will be less than a cup of coffee. So this is an inspirational read that you really don't want to miss. You can go to innerhippiebooks.com, where on Friday, the links will go up to go straight through and buy your copy. Next up is Nicolette Halliday with Please Call Me Nicolette. The truth is that free will isn't just the opportunity to choose, but the opportunity to create your own reality. And that's where understanding informs this creation. There are millions of instances of you sprinkled throughout the realities. Which rendition of you do you want to experience in this realm of existence? My journey began about 8 months ago while I was working behind the scenes assisting other publishers in producing multi-author books. I felt very aligned with the work I was doing, and it seemed like a good fit for my skill set, background, and previous experience. So I took the leap and struck out on my own as a publisher. I made the most substantial financial investment in myself to date by signing up with a mentor who teaches women how to establish successful publishing companies. 2 weeks later, my husband of 18 years and partner of 24 told me that he wasn't in love with me anymore and wanted a divorce. He said he couldn't wait any longer. This was the moment, and this was what he had to do immediately. I felt as if someone had pulled the rug out from under me, and I landed very hard on my back. I was devastated and questioned how I could be so wrong about someone. My entire world seemed to collapse in an instant, and my reality looked very different from the one that I thought I'd been living in. But that's a story for another day. My relationship with my former partner has improved since, and we're working to create a new co-parenting arrangement and friendship. But at that very moment in time, everything I thought I knew was turned inside out. That chain of circumstances launched me down a very different road. It allowed me to rethink who I was. I took the opportunity to reinvent myself. Getting to the next level and living up to my potential had everything to do with how I began to present myself and the energy that I brought to every encounter and exchange each and every day. It all began with a simple yet effective name change. Please call me Nicolette. I was born a tiny little baby weighing only 4 pounds and 12 ounces. And as soon as I was born, it was decided that Nicolette was far too big a name for me, and so they shortened it to Nikki. After I started a publishing company, my marriage was dissolving before my eyes, and every single part of my life was changing in the most incredible, terrifying, heartbreaking, and heart-opening ways. I decided I was finally big enough to fill up this name, and so I started going by Nicolette. That was Nicolette Halliday with Please Call Me Nicolette. And next up is Samantha Tune with It All Started to Make Sense. I am woman, strong and free. It was destiny to find the universe exists inside you and me. I am woman, bold and brave, breaking free from the human slave, a slave to the matrix and being asleep, breaking free from suppression, no more being a sheep. I am woman, here to take up space, guided by unconditional love, energy, and grace. I am woman, I cannot be tamed. Yes, I will take off my clothes and will not be shamed. I am woman, and I will not do what you say. I will listen to my higher self, I tune in and pray. I am woman. I am here to be seen, a magical embodiment of the divine, a part of the conscious dream. I am woman, and my name is Samantha Tune. I am everything and nothing. I am the sun and the moon. I have broken up with societal expectations, liberated, strong, and free, tuning into the 5D vibrations. Finally, it all started to make sense. I was being shown my life timelines in my third eye. I was shape-shifting through multiple dimensions. Medusa with snakes in her hair was shown to me. The music was vibrating through my body. I was overtaken by a Kundalini energy, tuned into the same frequency as the music. It was at this moment that I was woken up to a whole new level of consciousness, and I knew I was not from this planet. My name is Samantha Tune. I come from a working class family in Liverpool, UK. I loved performing and wanted to be a dancer, but my confidence was low. I always felt and looked a bit different. I had a mole on my eyebrow, so children would be mean. I was also diagnosed with dyslexia and struggled in school. I started drinking alcohol from the age of 12 to gain confidence and to escape from myself and from the harm I was doing to myself. I was hospitalized multiple times. My life was on a slippery slope. Then I found hairdressing. I have always been a natural with hair, and I opened up my first business at 18. That was the month attuned with it all started to make sense. Next up is Samriddhi Purohit with My Father's Daughter. On the plane, I posted a goofy boomerang on Instagram from my window seat before putting my phone in airplane mode. Being sleep deprived for days, I closed my eyes and almost immediately fell asleep. There it was again, the same dream that I had been seeing for the past 5 years. It just felt very real. I always saw everything in complete sensory detail. It felt like Northern Egypt a very long time ago. I saw myself as a slim, tall, 27-year-old girl with eyes exactly as I have now, black hair and Caucasian features. I was being held captive by soldiers on a huge rock. As I was dreaming, I realized that I was the same age when my ex and I parted ways. I switched back to the dream from my thoughts, and it all came back in the finest details, as always. It was a dark night, raining heavily with thunder and lightning. Around me, men wore white conical headgear and long robes that were tied at the upper waist. I recognized the J-shaped daggers they carried as the weapons of the royal army. I knew this furious man in front of me was not just a royal priest and my teacher, but also my biological father. I felt the confusion of having two active fathers in my life at the same time. With my hands held tight by soldiers, I knew it wasn't fear I was feeling. I was helpless, ashamed, and desperate to be with my lover. The rain was pouring, and I felt my wet clothes sticking to my body. I couldn't adjust them because of being held so firmly. Diagonally to my left and a bit farther away was my lover, arrested by soldiers who used to be his colleagues. Suddenly, lightning struck a few feet away from me and split open the huge rock I was on into two giant pieces. It felt like an earthquake, and I slipped off the wet rock into the Nile. It felt like a lot of people drowned, and my lover may have too. I survived and reached out for a rock, but I was stabbed with a J-shaped dagger on the left side of my stomach. Although it was just a dream, I always physically felt the stab when I got to this part. I then saw my priest father in religious attire in front of my lifeless body. He was removing my organs. I wasn't sure if he had killed me himself, but it felt like if he could do something as disgusting as this, he sure could have killed me. It was a gory sight to see, and I would always wake up with a jolt to be relieved to see the real physical world when I opened my eyes. I opened my eyes with a familiar jolt, relieved to find myself in the aircraft. That was Samriddhi Purohit with My Father's Daughter.
You are listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Silke Harvey.
Next up is yours truly. Yes, I have written one of the stories in this book as well, and it's called Radio Shack. Here we go. It was the last day of school, a hot summer's day. The classroom windows were wide open. The sun was shining enticingly, and you could hear the birds tweeting outside. The view from the window was pleasant. Even though the school was in the city, it was surrounded by a patch of green that could pass for a park. I hadn't been paying much attention to any of the lessons. I don't think any of the kids did that day. You could feel the excitement in the air. The prospect of 6 long, delicious weeks, not having to get up for school every morning, freedom to do what you want. Finally, no homework, just sheer summer bliss ahead. I couldn't wait to get home. School had never felt comfortable to me. From the first day I went, I felt like being locked up in an institution and having my freedom stripped away. Every minute spent inside the horrid old brick building was a minute wasted that I could have enjoyed living instead. I never fitted in with the other kids. I just didn't feel any connection to my peers. I didn't have the same interests. I couldn't laugh at the same silly jokes. It always felt like I was years older and years ahead of my own age group. At the time I went to secondary school, I was mostly mixing with adults already in my private life and could never identify with any of the silly games and shenanigans in the playground. I now know that these are typical signs of being an old soul, but I had no idea about these things as a kid. All I knew was that I felt different. A group of kids tried to bully me, but I successfully stood up for myself, dealing with them face on. I ended up not getting any more hassle, but I wasn't included either. I was simply left alone. That suited me just fine. I was always happiest in my own company. I usually sat near the back of the class, daydreaming and listening occasionally when the topic was remotely interesting. Most of the time, I just doodled away, dreaming of the moment I could go home and start exploring the real world. So each year, this last day of school was a big deal for me. But this year was even more exciting because I knew that Mum and Dad had booked me onto my very first holiday away from home without them. I was going to join the local scouts group on a trip to Tyrol in the Italian Alps. This was such a thrilling prospect that for weeks I'd already been anticipating, dreaming, even going to the library and reading up everything I could find out about Tyrol. That was me, Silky Harvey, with Radio Shack. And next up, we have Sophia Mattis with The Audible Voice of God, in her own words.
So here it is in my late teens, as I was standing in the kitchen, my dad revealed to me that he's Muslim. As you can imagine, I was in awe for days. Heck, I was in awe for maybe months. Okay, months may be a bit drastic, but I was in awe for days. Freedom was always evident in my home with a hovering sense of mom totalitarianism. I felt I had the freedom to be a kid, but never so much as to fully speak my mind. Eventually, it was time for me to go to college. My dad was adamant about me not going away to school. He wanted me to remain close, but my mom, being more of the free spirit at this time, said it was okay for me to go a bit further. Hawaii was in my plans, but Mom said, "Nope, Missy, you're not going that far." My parents loved my high school sweetheart. He was, like a son to them. We grew up together and went off to school together. I know that helped settle my parents' mind. The next thing I knew, grad school was knocking at my door. Looking hopeless while feeling isolated and alone, I recall an upperclassman asking me what was wrong. I told her my story, and it was on that day she gave me the best advice of my life. She told me to read the Bible. Gradually, as the months passed, my love for the Word of God and just for God Himself grew. I developed a ferocious appetite for reading the Word. The more I read, the more I became unflappable. Nothing much bothered me or deterred me. My emotions went from being on what felt like a roller coaster from hell to a calm day at sea. I recall returning to previous jobs to visit and witnessing the terror in the eyes of those in the neighborhood who held fast to the impression left in their mind when they'd hear my name, Sophia Mattis. It was a look of a deer caught in headlights. I recall me saying, "I know I've changed and you're not expecting this person, right?" And all I'd hear is the quiver and the nervous chuckle they all let out as they cautiously said, "Uh-huh." It didn't matter what others felt. said or labeled me as. In my mind, my heart, my soul, I had changed. All the feistiness, curse words, meanness to those who were mean to me, all of that went out the window when I was transformed. My dad, who I love dearly, remains a Muslim. And many years later, until this very day, he tries to convince me that Islam is the way. I'm not moved by it. I'm over it. Everyone chooses to hold fast to their truth. And as for me, I'm no exception. Despite the circumstances, despite the comments, I shall continue to hold fast to my truth that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is indeed Lord and Savior.
And that was Sophia Matis with The Audible Voice of God. We're almost at the end of this amazing storytelling session. And if you want to pick up a story of Strong and Free, you can do so on Friday, the 17th of December. Yes, this week, when it will be released internationally on Amazon. You can go to innerhippiebooks.com, where you will find all the buying links that will get you straight through to your local Amazon store. And now, to round off this beautiful storytelling session, we have Trine Oosterloo with From Pancake Turner to Fire and Hammer with a Chicken on the Shoulder. When somebody asks me who I am, it's very difficult to answer. I guess the best description would be something like discoverer of small things, follower of threads, and teller of tales. For as long as I can remember, I've had the urge to try out different, frequently quite crazy solutions. One childhood memory, for example, is how I used a small toothed metal saw to saw a hole into the runners of my plastic sledge so I could put a pancake turner through it to work as a brake. After graduating from high school, I went to study informatics. And instinctively, to balance the virtual world, I started working on real-world projects suggested by my inner voice. One such long and crazy project was scraping the rust from my first car's body. That summer, I spent long hours in the garage, kneeling in front of my car, making a racket with a drill. To make my environment cozier, I compensated with a tape player and Johann Strauss Walters. I hummed along and soon found that I was able to carry a tune, something I had struggled with as a child. The same garage also witnessed how I made a classicistic style cabinet for a stereo. Its pillars were made of broom handles. The result was a bit shaky, but from that point on, woodworking got under my skin, and I've since made several shelves, kitchen tables, stools, banisters, and a front door. One of my most special projects was a zither I made with my son when he was 10 years old. It gave us excitement for almost 6 months until the wonderful culmination of a master's workshop who helped him string it. Right after getting my university degree, my inner voice started to demand two things very loudly. Firstly, that I should get a rabbit, and secondly, that I should learn to make stained glass. The rabbit manifested itself quickly and taught me a lot. It wasn't just a cute jumping furball, it had its own character, wishes, moods, and fears. It took me more than a year to start on the stained glass because there weren't any good tools available in Estonia, and I had to learn from books. I made the first grindings of the glass on the whetstone, scrubbing each piece to and fro for at least 10 minutes. I slowly started to understand the character of the glass, its fragility and its hardness. This is very difficult to understand by just looking and touching glass. That was Trine Oosterloo with From Pancake Turner to Fire and Hammer with Chicken on the Shoulder. And that rounds off our storytelling for today. You have listened to 16 extracts of amazing stories from inspirational women who will all become published authors, best-selling authors on Friday, 17th of December. Yes, you can go out there and buy this book, Strong and Free, on the 17th of December. It will be launched on Amazon or international Amazon platforms as a Kindle version for less than a cup of coffee. So if you've enjoyed this reading, go out there, grab your copy. You will find all the direct buying links on www.innerhippiebooks.com. And you can also find the link to Inner Hippie Books at the bottom of this radio page. So go grab your copy, have a good read, and enjoy your weekend with the nice read of Strong and Free in your Kindle inbox. See you again, same time next week, Monday. I believe is the 20th of December. My goodness, Christmas week already next week. Yep. See you again Monday the 20th, 1 p.m. CT, here on BBS Radio Station 1.
Thank you for listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Sophie Harvey. See you again next week, same place, same time, Mondays at 1 p.m. CT.